We're in the middle of Diary Week, and Gidget, Alex, and Amy are searching their souls for just the right words for their podcast. Will their pens run out of ink? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. You've heard Gidget and Alex's path through Diary Week, and now it's time for Amy to go into the spotlight. She and I will talk about Diary Week and how vulnerable you need to be for this type of show, and Tom will be there to guide her through the rough waters of a one-mic show. And we'll hear her submission at the end, but before we get to any of that, Amy was our Week 9 winner, so she gets a bonus. Some time with our very special guest coach, therapist Wendy Dunford. Let's eavesdrop on their therapy session.
All right. Hello.
Hi.
So, I'm thinking that this is just going to be a really personal story of my journey through this competition. I have anxiety. I have depression. I have a lot of family stuff. Like, this has been like the show, the me that people have seen on the show is significantly different than what's going on in the background.
Sure.
Like, I'm super shy, which seems weird, I'm sure, to anyone listening, and that kind of thing. So I haven't quite nailed down how I'm going to, you know, do the technical formatting of this, you know, like, to make it a narrative. Right. But I guess, like, my question would be, like, how do you talk about difficult things without sort of falling apart, I guess? Like, how, like, I don't, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just throwing out the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah.
I hate timers, so I'm going to talk fast. Okay, so I was thinking, okay, if I wanted to read this, which I rarely am interested in reality game show anything, right? So what would draw my attention would be some version of what you show on the outside and then a translation into what is really happening. So for example, I'm picturing a piece of paper. On one half, it says, my words are these. I say, da, 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 da. You have an awesome voice, by the way. So
you
come across totally confident, capable, probably intimidating to some. And then what's actually happening in your head, sort of like the chaser voice, the voice of anxiety, because anxiety is always a voice, right?
Right.
And what is the running dialogue of the anxiety, like, as the other thing is happening? So
okay. Day
one looks like this, and I look like I have it all together. Because in essence, that's what is amazing about most people who struggle with anxiety or depression, is that we all have our public mask or our face,
right,
that then no one really gets to hear. And I don't know, there's something about the duality of it happening at the same time that I think would be fascinating to see how someone compensates. So again, to answer your direct question, though, it would look a little bit like, here's all this vulnerable stuff and here's how I handle it. And so it has a bit of a back and forth between,
right,
like, this isn't all raw all the time.
It's right.
Look how I can get out and do the thing in the world I need to do. But underneath, this stuff feels like it's going to crumble. And I think that's totally relatable versus what ends up happening often when people get vulnerable is their expectation is that people, because we're vulnerable, will think that's weird or I'm not like you or wow, something's wrong with you versus what 99% of the time is, oh yeah, I feel like that too. Or I get that, you know?
Right. Yeah. So it's also like, I definitely, especially now, especially this past week, because it's, you know, it was our first individual challenges.
Yeah.
Like, it's been all team stuff. So the imposter syndrome has reared its ugly head pretty bad because it's like, oh, well, now I'm on my own and they're all going to find out that I'm not as great as they think I am.
Right.
Do you have like, do you have any hints for sort of quieting that voice?
Yeah. Well, first of all, like, one quick thing to do is just like sit down with a piece of paper and write down all the thoughts that the imposter syndrome person says. Mm-hmm. And so you get really clear what it is they're accusing you of. And I'm talking in third person here for a reason, is that voice is not your own. It has mimicked your voice, sounds like it, but it is not. It comes from a collection of how you were raised, the people who have said, don't you dare stand up there and make a fool of yourself. You know, whoever, all of the people combined become this amalgam of uncool commentary. Right. And then you've taken the voice on, and now that's the voice. And that's anxiety as well, right? So it lives inside of you. You need to know really clearly what it is it's telling you. Mm-hmm. And have a sense of like, oh, you're attacking that and that and that. And of course, it's only going to attack the things that matter to you. So you sort of first have it clear outside of your head. It needs to be sort of on paper. And then looking at it and seeing like, what is it attempting to get me to not do? Because imposter syndrome is this example of, you don't have imposter syndrome unless you're actually qualified. People who are not qualified for most things don't even have this voice.
Right.
So there's the irony, right? So, right. I mean, it's a game show. It's not like you've studied your whole life to get to this moment.
Right.
But so find out what the voice is saying. Can you tell me offhand what kinds of things the imposter voice
says? I mean, it's mostly that, you know, especially, a lot of the other contestants and all of the judges, and they all have, you know, so much more experience, and they all do like such bigger things than I do. And I've just got like my little show that I've done and, you know, and it comes down to like, you know, every week it's like, well, I mean, that was something like even this last week, it was like, yeah, I mean, it was okay, I guess. And like everybody raved all the same. And it's like, what? I don't understand.
Right. Okay. So then, so maybe it's not all bad. Maybe it's not your enemy, but tell me how it is. How does this actually hurt you to have that voice come in and say like, that's pretty average. And everyone's saying it's great. Does that hurt you to have this?
It makes it hard to keep going sometimes. Like, it's a lot of the like, well, why bother? Like, it's not really that good. And,
right.
You know, maybe I'm taking away from someone else who is better but had a bad week, or, you know, they had a bad day and so now they're out and I'm still here.
Gotcha. And so a little bit of not knowing, not thinking you kind of deserve what you're getting.
Right.
Okay. Right. So that takes more than 10 minutes to fix.
Yes.
However, the start of it is recognizing the things that it's saying. And then what I would have you do is just dig a little bit into your past. Like, who talked to you that way? Who talked about themselves that way? So for example, like if my mom constantly just said, well, I don't deserve to have this or do that, or I guess this is my lot in life. Like you pick up on those vibes when someone's just doing it themselves, right? They don't have to direct it at you, but there's this, oh, that's how it's supposed to work. Kind of the minimize myself so everyone else can feel better might just be a contagion that was in your family of origin or, you know, the neighborhood you lived in or whatever. And some of it just is, it's your brain kind of compensating because you're really vulnerable if you think you're awesome. And so it's kind of this balancing act, right? To chill that out. So here's my advice ultimately is use this to your advantage. This doesn't have to be a disadvantage. The advantage being when you're going to dig into a personal memoir, people don't want to read how awesome you are or how confident you feel all the time. People want to know like, how are you relatable? And this is probably the most relatable thing, right? Which is, I really shouldn't even be here.
Right?
Lots of famous people have this exact same thing. So is there a way to tie it into how you reveal yourself that actually is, it's confessional, but also, you know, really relatable.
Okay. I think I can do that.
What's your biggest strength here, do you think?
Wow. I don't know. I guess that's probably part of the problem. I guess, part of it, like in terms of the competition, part of it is like my voice and my demeanor, like you said, like that's been a constant comment on pretty much every episode. And the weeks where I get to sort of be in the lead for that are the ones where my team seem to do the best and things like that. So probably that is like my, we'll call it my on-screen demeanor, I suppose. Like that's probably it.
Awesome. And do you believe that?
I do. I wanted to do theater my entire life. I went to college for theater for a year and I've never regretted, like as much of a quote unquote waste of money as that was, I've never really regretted it because I did manage to take away, you know, a fair amount of stuff that's useful sort of all the time.
Right.
but like, yeah, I get that. I do. But I don't, sometimes that doesn't seem like it's quite enough.
Right. Okay. So let's just start with what it is, not what it isn't. So okay. What it is, so I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of voices and you have a fantastic voice. I could listen to you tell me a story. I could listen to you report something. Like I want you to tell me some deep dive investigative thing you did. That's, you have that kind of voice. So you get a choice. Just own it or downplay it. It's fine. You get to choose. But it's the one thing I think you can agree right now, you're not, this isn't fake. This voice isn't fake. This is who you right. are. You can't fake this actually, really. You just have it, which is cool. Okay, so then the next step being, all right, I've got a voice that can tell a story and can do a good job articulating, et cetera. And then I have this very real world anxiety, depression, other thoughts rolling through my head. There's a bunch of different names. How can I use my voice to be sort of every person's voice? Like, can I convey the relatability and people will hear it because of your voice? Does that make sense?
It does. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. I want to hear this when we're all done. I don't even know what this is.
Oh yeah.
Honestly.
You will.
I'm here with Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
So you had your coaching session with Wendy, and I listened in on that. That one went really, really well, it sounded like.
Yeah, I was really happy with that one. So I have a bit of a curse with the extra coaching session. So, that's, you know, right. I was a little trepidatious. I had no idea. This is the first coaching session I went into when I had no idea what I was going to ask or talk about.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, so, I had no idea.
Oh, that's great. So as far as concepts, you've probably rolled a couple things around, but not had anything firm enough to be able to ask her about. Although, you know, it's less of a coaching session and more of a, I don't know, a life coaching session.
It really was.
Yeah.
It's so good. I'll take my 10 minutes of free therapy any day.
No kidding. Yeah. I don't know how much that would have cost you in the real world.
Right?
That's great stuff. And I think a lot of people actually can use that kind of information for their own podcast. So I think that's really, really cool. So now that you've had the session with Wendy and you've had some time to think about it since, how are concepts coming for your podcast?
So it's really good. There was this big, like the biggest thing that Wendy and I talked about was this whole, you know, sort of the on-screen me versus the me behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And giving a voice to all of that anxiety and pressure and everything else that goes on underneath. So I think I've got a pretty good direction there. I like this challenge. I like the idea of a diary challenge, especially since this is kind of almost, you know, I wanted to do a variety. I wanted to do a play on this for the storytelling one, but mm-hmm. Alex was really like, it was really important to him that he tell his story. So I let him.
Sure.
So this is actually going to cover some of the same stuff that I probably would have talked about in that episode. So that's cool for me too.
That's
great. I get
great.
That opportunity.
And the stuff that you normally podcast, I guess you do the Overwatch show.
Yes.
Yes, I do. But that's with a co-host. Do you do other, do you do another show that is single mic or is
I don't.
You don't. So this is going to be, uncharted, not uncharted, but certainly newer territory for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think most of this competition has been that, for me. I think now I can say that interview with Michael Chu is my first interview. So,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
we're getting into a lot of Uncharted.
It went really, really well, obviously, because you won the competition. But I think, we had so many great, great interviews from that last episode. So, well done. Well, good. Are you going to be introducing any other genres into your diary podcast? So is it going to be like a combination of diary and probably not comedy, but maybe confessions, or you can't really do an interview with this one?
Yeah. It'll be more storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of my kind of journey to get here.
Nice.
And I think it's probably the best way I can put it.
I think that is the way that these things work best, is when it's not just a straight, okay, it is only a diary podcast and nothing else. And
right.
Awesome. Well, that's going to be fun to listen to. And then we're getting really close to the end here. I mean, I've already given you the tough question of like, who would you like to see in the finals?
Yep.
But what are you, I'm not going to tell if you're right or wrong. Do you have any ideas on what the final challenge might be?
I don't. My thoughts early on were that the final challenge would essentially be a repeat of the first challenge and just a make a podcast. But now all bets are off. I have no idea.
We've thrown so many curveballs your way that you don't know what to expect. We do have a plan. I wasn't trying to get some ideas, but we do have a plan for what the final is going to be. And I'm really excited to see how things go over the next week with this one.
Yeah.
And then moving forward, of course. Great. Well, I'm going to let you get back to your afternoon. And
awesome.
I can't wait to hear what Tom has to say tomorrow and hear your final result this week.
Awesome.
Great. Thanks, Amy.
Amy, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'll just give you my notes right away. Great setup. Great context for the interview. Really good subject. I know Justin said you missed the newsworthy aspect. You weren't doing a news podcast, so I'm not sure how much that bothered me. But I would have liked to seen you probe some more. For instance, when he talked about going from QA to quest design, I wanted to know, like, how did, you know, because every QA person's dream, every playtester's dream is like, I want to become part of the team. Like, I wanted to know that story. How did he get the job on doing the Star Wars work? But you did get some good expanded questions in there towards the end. Things like, you know, asking him about fan fiction and how he felt about that. I love that. Asking him his favorite story out there was great. So good work. Well-deserved win.
Thank you. I was worried about going too much into like his stuff and then not having time for the content that I was going for was part of my thing.
Sure.
And I think the other part is I think I just didn't think of it because I did that. Like I worked QA for a video game company and then went to the art department. So I think that maybe I didn't even think
You're like,
that.
Well, it's obvious. You do what
yeah,
I do.
Obviously. I know how that works.
Yeah. No, and one thing about interviews is you never will have too much. You can always cut.
Right.
You can always cut back. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. This week, you're going to do the Diary of a Reality Competition podcast contestant. Do you have an idea of how you're going to approach that?
I do. So talking to Wendy actually helped that out a lot.
Oh, yeah. You got the big bonus talking to Wendy.
Yeah,
that's great.
I did, which comes with a curse previously, but we're going
okay.
to shake that this time. So a lot of it actually came from originally from the storytelling podcast, because Alex and I both came up with stories that we would tell.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was really, you know, he really, really wanted to do his, and I was perfectly fine with that. And so a lot of it is this sort of behind the scenes, like my story was a lot of this behind the scenes stuff that is going on. So I'm kind of adapting that for this one. So like Wendy said that, you know, I have this strength that is my voice. It is my persona that I have here. And so the idea is to take that and use that as a voice for all of the insecurity and the anxiety and the everything else that goes on underneath that nobody gets to see.
So basically tapping into the, when I'm appearing confident in my show or trying to sell myself to the judges, y'all don't know the half of it.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. I got it. I think this is a really good approach for you, because one very minor thing that I've noticed is, and this is, I mean, you have a great voice. They're not wrong in praising you for that, but you have used it in one way, it feels like,
right,
in that sort of NPR-ish way. And this is a chance for you to show off that you can use it in other ways and be more personal, be more conversational.
Exactly. That's the plan.
So are you just going to do a series of anecdotes? Is it going to be sort of amusing thing? Do you have a structure for it?
I'm still kind of working that part out. I was thinking of starting it with, cause I have so many clips from these other challenges of like, to give it a little structure. So it's not just like, I'm just going to talk into a mic for 10 minutes and then that's it. Mm-hmm. So I want to start it with sort of, I have all these intros that I've done for all of these shows where it's inevitably always like, this is, you know, this is Culinary Capers, this is whatever. And, and like clip those together. And then it turns into, well, this is me, and talk about like all the stuff that goes on behind
that. I like it.
That.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
And then from that intro, where do you go?
That's the part I'm not entirely sure about. I'm still working that out.
Okay. So let's brainstorm it a bit. And these are not good ideas. These are just ideas that would maybe spark the actual good idea, but
sure.
You could interview yourself.
Right.
Right. You could say, yep. Amy, why, you know, you seem so confident and poised. And then Amy answers, well, let me tell you.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of goes back to a little bit like Wendy was saying, which was this whole, you know, the two sides of it sort of thing. So that is kind of that's the general idea of it.
It could be a little cheesy to actually interview yourself. I mean, it's not impossible to pull off, but what if you center it around examples? Good storytelling shows doesn't tell.
Right.
So, you know, your intro could say, this is me. And the me you've heard on podcast isn't necessarily the me that I experience. For example, like what are some examples you could use to tell someone this encapsulates what I was feeling at the time?
Yeah. I mean, I think the Comedy Podcast Week is probably a pretty good one to tap into.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
Like what?
That was a rough one. Yeah, I can probably do that and do like maybe probably rule of threes, you know, three.
Yeah. Do three examples. Here's the hard part. You don't want to tell me an example right now, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because it's embarrassing. You're and not even just embarrassing, but it's hard to talk about. You're not going to want to tell it on the show either. You're going to have to find your comfort level with what you can tell to the rest of the world, and you're going to have to push it. You're going to have to push it past your comfort level, because that's the only way you're going to make it compelling, where people say, oh my gosh, that's real. And just as an example, I have anxiety, and I get anxiety. And for the longest time, I wanted to hide it. I didn't want to tell people about it. And there was a time where I just decided to talk about it on one of my pre-shows, or maybe even on a regular show. And I did it on faith that I had been told this was a good idea, and it was fine. I was, you know, when you have an anxiety disorder, no surprise, you get anxiety about talking about things. So I said it just like clenching my teeth, and all I got was positivity back.
Right.
So don't be afraid to push yourself. You know, again, I'm not saying you have to like say things that you would never want to say, but don't be afraid to push yourself out of your comfort zone. That's how you're going to win.
Right. Yeah. No, my little talk with Wendy was pretty good in that sense, because I went into that having no idea what I was going to talk about. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to talk to Wendy about. And then like next thing I know, everybody's like, you know, this is going to like go out, right? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Everybody can hear it. It's
cool. And if you can find a trusted person to bounce these ideas off, where you're like, I'm going to tell this, and they can sort of help guide you more than likely by saying, yeah, that's not even that unusual, or, you know, like, oh yeah, no, that's really touching and really good to hear, you know, and maybe catch you with a like, oh yeah, I wouldn't say that one. Although I doubt that's even going to happen. Really.
Right.
But I mean, that to me is the biggest roadblock you're going to have, is holding off on telling the really good story. The one that's going to push it over the edge. Because if you're going to say like, let me tell you what it's really like, you got to make people feel like they're hearing what it's really like.
Right. Right. I can do that.
And it has to be a story that's not just telling me like I was really anxious because we were going to say this comedy bit and the comedy bit was really embarrassing you know, I was worried it wasn't funny. Like, you got to tell me why. You got to give me those show don't tell moments. Justin particularly, I think, is the kind of person who looks for that.
Right. Okay. I think I can do that. Okay. I have a few ideas.
I know you can. It's yeah. I'm holding back from making you tell me the ideas, because that would be the real way to make sure that you're thinking that way. But I encourage you, if you don't tell them to me here, which is fine, tell them to someone. Make sure.
Well, no. So like part of it, like, and I talked about this with Wendy, like part of it is, you know, this ongoing feeling that like maybe somebody, like maybe I stayed when somebody else deserved to go home. And that was specifically like the comedy show when Joe went home, and like, that was really rough. Like, I felt responsible for that.
Right. And so you've got to tell me a conversation you had, a moment when you were like, when you were cooking dinner and you burned the steak because you were distracted. Like those are the kinds of elements you got to give me, to make me realize like, oh wow, she really did feel guilty.
Okay.
I don't know if you cook steak, but.
I don't burn steak.
Yeah, seriously. It wasn't that bad, Tom. Come on.
Come on.
I wouldn't go and burn a steak. But you get what I'm saying. Like, you got to give me that, like, oh, I dropped the spoon because, you know, immediately I realized and I was in tears in the corner and whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
I think this is, a good one. It's a little, I guess why I'm pushing you so hard is it's a little bit expected. Like Diary of a Reality Contestant, I expect you to confess, right? That's just what it sounds like. So you gotta give me something that's like, wow, but that was really good.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Thanks, Amy. You. Go get them.
Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. I am Amy Frost, and I'm one of the final three competitors fighting to become America's next top podcaster. It's hard to believe that I'm here. It really has been an incredible journey to get to this point. I've learned so much, and I've gotten to work with all these incredible people. This competition has really allowed me to stretch my abilities and has taken me out of my comfort zone. Every challenge has provided me with new opportunities to see what I'm capable of.
So, I wasn't entirely sure I wanted to do this. I mean, who am I? I just have my little show that maybe 100 people listen to. I don't have all that much experience, and when I sat and read the bios of all of my competitors, and they all have much more experience than I do, and much more varied experience, and more interesting. I'm lucky because I have a lot of people who care about me who pushed me to do it. They said that it would be good for me, said that this is a challenge, this is something I could be good at, and this is something that could help me feel good about what I can do. And they're not wrong. I hadn't expected to enjoy the team challenges as much as I did. When the competition started, I wasn't sure what to expect having to work with my competitors. I feel extremely lucky that we all clicked together well so quickly. It made working together enjoyable and fun, and now I count my former teammates as friends. I was pretty worried at the beginning that there were team challenges. I mean, I guess I probably should have known that given the number of contestants, but it was something that worried me. I'm unbearably shy. And now I have three strangers that I need to work with and collaborate with and talk to and get to know, and they're going to depend on me to get my part of the work done. And I do feel lucky. Alex and Rishi and Joe were amazing teammates. We clicked and we became friends so quickly. I think even though it didn't get the best feedback, that our week one challenge was a good one for us because we all got to learn a little something about each other really quickly. And it didn't take long for me to stop thinking about them as competitors and to start thinking of them as my teammates, which made it all the harder when things didn't go well and someone went home. As challenging as the weekly tasks are, it's the judging episodes that are really tough. When it goes well, I'm on top of the world. I can ride that high for days. When it goes poorly, though, that can really sink things. It makes focusing on the next week's task that much harder. Week 5, the comedy podcast week, was certainly the most difficult. Comedy thrives on courage, and Alex, Joe, and I took a big risk hoping for a big payoff. And unfortunately for our team, it didn't work.
Amy, I would have eliminated you because this, from based on everybody's roles, it sounded like this was your thing. Mm-hmm. This is your concept to go ahead with.
So week 5. Coincidentally, week 5, I had pneumonia, which, as bad as it was, no one likes to get sick. And when being sick is one of the things that triggers your anxiety, that certainly doesn't help anything. But I also had these two people that were depending on me to do my part for our show. And it was the comedy show, and they wanted to do something safe. They wanted to do something with a guaranteed success. And I wanted us to do something bigger and something better than that. And I didn't want us to do the expected. And obviously, with everything, with our time constraints and with the production time and all of that, it was too much. I reached for the stars and I failed. And those two came with me. Alex and Joe followed me the whole way. So Jerry said he would have eliminated me because it was my idea and the idea was a bad one. But I wasn't the one that went home. And it was Joe who has been so supportive of every crazy idea that I had and who is such a good competitor and so wonderful to be around. And he got eliminated because of my bad idea. And to make it even harder, he said in our Discord chat that if they'd tried to eliminate me, he would have fallen on his podcast sword for me because being sick was no reason to be eliminated. And I've spent every week since then thinking about how maybe it should be him instead of me that's here. And I am making damn sure that I am trying as hard as I can not to squander the opportunity that he gave me.
It certainly hasn't all been doom and gloom. The high points have been so high. Laughing and joking during the planning sessions with the podcasteers, culinary capers, the metronomes and space innovators, and getting to do my dream interview. Every week, I've poured my heart into each project. And successful or not, each one has given me something I can be proud of. I've learned a lot from this experience, and I'm obviously hoping for the best. But no matter what the final outcome, I'm very glad to have been part of it.
I have learned a ton from both the judges and the coaches and Tom and the other contestants. And I've learned about podcasting, and I've learned about what I'm capable of. And I've overcome so much to do that. I've overcome every anxiety and every week wanting to quit. And I'm so proud that I've gotten this far. And no matter what, I'm so happy that I've had this opportunity.
I'm Amy Frost, and I am already one of America's Next Top Podcasters. And no one can take that away from me.
That was Amy's entry for Diary Week. On the next episode, it all comes under scrutiny from our judges, who will listen to each of the three diary entries and give their feedback, and the journey will end for one of our contestants. Who will be our final two? Find out on the next episode of America's Next Top Podcaster.